We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu,
we are on the Spotify Green Room app, which sometimes we do post-game to get in-caller interaction because we are the show for people. We're recording this after the Warriors lost to the Knicks. Also, trade deadline day. We will discuss both topics tonight. Honestly, my big take from this Knicks game, and Clay couldn't have got a better look to end it, but dude, these guys need the all-star break. That's where I'm starting.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure how much I agree. They seemed like they had enough gas there at the end. I felt like, you know, some people wanted a big man, and myself, yours truly, wanted a big man. I think this game was kind of like, hey, they kind of need a big man. Not to win in the postseason, Sam, but to win these games. Now, you can argue that these games don't matter because this team is 41 and whatever it is, but I would say, you know, it'd have been nice to win this game, and you probably win this game with a big man. So, I that's how I feel about it. I feel like maybe they squeeze out 2, 3, 4 extra wins with a backup big and maybe keep Looney healthier. That's really what I felt like this game was about. Everything else was kind of, you know, Kuminga was cool. He was really good. That's all I felt about it.
What you're saying is the difference between the Warriors and the Suns is Bismack Biyombo.
It might be, man. It really might be. I mean, tonight it was
Sam, they looked flat.
It was embarrassing, though. Even if they were energized, like Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle, I don't know. They would have to play like playoff intensity to be able to, like they did in the last 6 minutes, right? Playoff intensity. They won those minutes, but.
And we should throw in, we didn't record after the last game, but this is a back-to-back. And last night it was Hassan Whiteside, which is like equally like, I mean, yeah, come on. It's Hassan Whiteside, you know that type of thing. So it's like the overarching take on the Warriors, 2 losses in a row. They look gassed. They also just look lazy. And you could easily draw a line where it's like, dude, you can only smoke in mirrors not having big men for so long, right? Like, that's one way to take it. Like, Looney, he was questionable 2 nights ago. They didn't play him this game very much. They tried to go small and run the Knicks out of the gym. But it's just like, in general, this team needs another big man, and maybe it just comes with Draymond and Wiseman coming back, but like it's starting to reach a little thing.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it. It's, you know, when it comes to winning time, you can see what this team's going to do. Like it would have been Draymond at the 5 instead of Kuminga, right? It probably would have been Otto or Andre at the 4 instead of Poole, but like you can see this team at the 5, like they're unstoppable. They're going to win those minutes. They did tonight with Kuminga at the 5. And you can see once they went nuclear mode, like they can't be stopped on offense. If they get stops, it's over, right? So I'm like not that worried. It's just it's rough to see though, like the 42 other minutes of the game where I have to watch Mitchell freaking Robinson look like Wilt Chamberlain. It's kind of that's a little
and just to tie it in, I mean they were out rebounded by 16. Sorry, incorrect. That was last night. I rebounded by 13. Not any better, but like just to be accurate. Right. And that's kind of the overarching theme. It's been a couple games like this. It ties into the thing where it's like they didn't make a move at the deadline. Everyone who's listening to this is aware of the fact they didn't make a move at the deadline. And we'll see how it plays out. Maybe they get Draymond back. Maybe they get Wiseman back. Maybe Looney gets some rest and it doesn't matter. But it does feel like playing with fire sometimes.
I
want to ask you a question before we move to the deadline stuff, which I think is just too fun to get to. What did you think of Kuminga tonight?
The first thing I thought of at the end of the game was this guy has been the most consistent Warriors player on the team over veteran guys on the team. Like you talk about Bielitsa tonight, who was awful. You talk about Damian Lee, who's up and down. You talk about
Bielitsa JP. Bielitsa does not look over that back thing. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, maybe they rushed him back, you think? It's kind of weird, though. Like, they probably shouldn't do. But anyway, like, Kuminga, even if Bielitsa was healthy, like, Kuminga looks like he should be the guy that's playing minutes at least over those three. And then looks like he's playing minutes over, like, GP2 as well. And he's closing. Sam, it feels like this is what they thought James Wiseman was going to be last season. Like, I feel like they thought he has the talent. He has the size. You give him enough minutes, he's going to be able to play himself into, you know, kind of playoff rotational minutes, which I think Kuminga's going to be playing himself into. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing for me with Kuminga is, all right, he has every tool. He obviously has a long way to go developmentally, but he has it mentally. That's, like, the thing that jumps to me. As the biggest thing, like, I watch him and I'm like, this dude is never afraid in any moment. Like, he thinks he should be a superstar already. You know, like, you can tell he gets annoyed when he gets benched because he thinks he should be playing. And I think the way the Warriors are handling him is the absolute best way to develop him. But man, he is a very exciting prospect across the board. Tonight, they played him small ball five. He had issues on the glass, no other way around that. But he also made some huge plays down the stretch, attacking the rim, getting free throws. I know it was a goaltend. It was a legitimate goaltend, that blocking sure. in. But, like, he made some freak athletic plays on defense where I'm like, he's not that far away from being, like, a legitimate impact player on both sides of the floor in a meaningful way, not just a, like, freak athlete, raw prospect way.
Yeah, it's weird how mature he – not weird. I shouldn't say weird. It is impressive how mature he is on offense and defense. I thought it was pretty funny. He guarded Julius Randle for a lot of the game. The Warriors, they guarded Randle terribly. They just kept fouling him. Just one of those, like, dumb games. And you're right. I think that's part of it, right? These guys are exhausted. Usually when you're tired, you foul. And the Warriors just nonstop dumb shit fouls over the place. But watching Kuminga guard Randle reminded me a little bit of a young Draymond trying to guard Zebo. Because you remember young Draymond, he wouldn't get pushed around except for only one guy. And I used to say it was always Zach Randolph. And tonight, like, you rarely ever see Kuminga get pushed around, but you saw Randle throw him into the rim a couple times. That's so true.
Yeah. Zebo knew how to slow Draymond down to a point where he'd foul him, and it used to drive Draymond insane because he's like – because they're both Michigan State guys, by the way. But, like, yeah, it was just like the one guy who was going to bother Draymond was the one guy who was slower than him, right? Like, this is perfect, you know? And by the way, you know who else used to bother Draymond the same way?
Boris. Oh, his buddy. Oh, yes. Yeah, I was going to say his buddy, but yes, Boris too. One of my favorite players ever, Boris Diaw.
Great player. But yeah, it's like funny. Like, you get a young guy who has that sort of feel. Like, the best way to beat them is with, like, the old man moves. It's not to, like, try to out athletic them.
Actually, now that I think about it, both guys don't really foul, Draymond or Kuminga. Like, they just don't commit bad most of the time. And I think especially at Kuminga's age,
good reflexes with, like, the hand eye coordination. Or it's like insane. He's gonna make mistakes just because he's young, but, like, he's not. Look, man, we watched a lot of Kent Bazemore last year. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same. It's not the same type of mistakes.
A couple other things with Kuminga, by the way. Made a couple threes tonight and also made two huge free throws down four at the free throw line. Made two. He's obviously not a great free throw shooter, but made them in crunch time. Reminded me of Iguodala a little bit. So, you know, got a little killer instinct in them.
Look, neither you or I are shot doctors. medical doctors, perhaps, but not shot doctors. I feel like the one thing you can say, though, is his shot has progressed since the beginning of the season. You remember the beginning of the year?
Summer League.
From across the face. Yeah. I was watching that. I'm like, that's a three-year project. That's not happening. Shot's a lot smoother right now. Like, you know, it's still a work in progress, but like, it is kind of wild how much better his shot has gotten. And like, it's evident in like the free throw attempts tonight. So like, I keep going back to this. He is a very exciting prospect and one that the Warriors should be protecting and not looking to trade in any capacity for a long time.
He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
Of course he's not. But you know what I'm saying. Like, he's just like, even though they lost tonight against the Knicks, Kuminga, like, it's hard for me to walk away from this game with a negative taste about his performance. Like, yeah, he made some rookie mistakes on Julius Randle. No way around that. But overall, very exciting.
I mean, closing lineup for a team that is this good is, I mean, even though Porter was out, like, Kuminga played better than what Porter has been playing in the last few weeks. He should have been closing regardless. I also wanted to point out this closing lineup was pretty cool. I think you probably liked it. They had four shooters surrounding Kuminga. They had the Splash Brothers, Jordan Poole, and Andrew Wiggins. And I think they're not going to close many games like this, I want to say. But I don't know. Draymond at the five with those four guys, Sam? I don't know. That's a pretty – everybody's going
to
be
– Steve, can we say it? Steve was trying to speed the game up. Because the Knicks – like, dude, Tibbs, very good coach. I hate watching his team. There's no other way. Like, it's just fouling, grimy, slow it down. And like, Kerr's like doing everything in his power to get this game running, right? Like, there's no other way around that. But yeah. You want to hit on the trade deadline stuff before?
That's right. Yeah, let's go.
You know how you know it's bad? All right. So obviously everyone listening to this is aware. James Harden and Ben Simmons were traded for each other. In general, nothing really happening on the West. The Warriors not making moves. We can talk about that. I know at least half the callers will ask about that. So we'll talk about that in the caller segment.
Okay.
I'm floored at the Brooklyn Nets situation. I think it is hilarious contextually to the Warriors situation. I think that's where we should go with this. It's like James Harden was set up a little bit publicly to look like a bad guy.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong, he has his flaws. But like, a lot of this is alleviated if Kyrie Irving plays basketball, maybe, you know? And it just speaks to like a team where there's no leaders and it's just a bunch of dudes who are out for their own. And it makes you in some ways appreciate what you got with the Warriors.
1,000%. I think Harden and Russ are two guys that I think were kind of scapegoated out for, you know, kind of fair reasons, but also why is all the blame on those guys? There is a lot more blame going around to everyone else. And I think how Kyrie gets out unscathed from the situation is hilarious. You just talked about it. It's just guys that when Kevin Durant is your vocal and kind of glue behind, like, that's not a great thing. Not that he's a bad leader. It's just like, that's what guys like Draymond is there for, right? Steph's a great leader just by setting an example. And you look at James Harden, who's never been a leader. You look at Kyrie, who's been on like four different teams now. Definitely not a leader.
Everyone of them, by the way,
hate him.
Locker room, terrible. Yeah.
Hate him. And then you've got Katie, who's injured. And I kind of feel bad for him, but it's just like, you've just got three guys that aren't, and now they bring in what, Ben Simmons? Like, that, I don't know. Does that help?
Also, I want to bring up the other point. It's like, okay, so KD's the leader of the team, and KD, for a lot of, you can say what you want about him, but he's an earnest, honest competitor. Shows up every day, competes until he's injured, basically. You know, like, he plays hard.
We saw it.
You can't. If you have another player who's one of your star players who's not bought in like that, like, he can't override that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kyrie's too good for KD to be able to control that situation. Like, you need all your leaders to be bought in, is, I guess, the point I want to say. And, you know, you can bring it Harden into this as well. But, like, you look at the Warriors, Steph is obviously the best player on the team. But Draymond and Klay Thompson are just as bought in as him. Skill sets are different. They play a different game. But they're just as bought in to winning as Steph Curry. And when you look at Brooklyn, I think KD wants to win. I think the other two guys have a different view of how things would go. And that's a problem. Like you,
right.
you know what I'm saying? Like it's not like a top down hierarchy. It's like your top guys have to be bought in, period.
I assure you, if Steph and Draymond weren't the way they were, Jordan Poole and Kuminga would not be the way they are. Like Jordan Poole would not be happy coming. Like Jordan Poole would be leaking somewhere that he's not happy coming off the bench. Same with Kuminga. Like probably shouldn't have been benched this season, right? Probably should be playing more. Like because they see that Steph and Draymond are sacrificing who they are, they're not going to say anything. And that's part of kind of what leadership and being an actual team is. You know what's the craziest part of this too? I think the Nets might have gotten better. I just don't know if it matters. Just because of those guys that you have someone that basically bullshitted about having mental health issues, which I think is ridiculous as someone who actually has a therapist. I see what Ben Simmons says and you're just like, dude, shut up. Like complete lies. Then you've got some guy that's not going to play half the games, right? Because of whatever reason. And then who else? Right? Like they are better on paper. I just don't know if it matters.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, in the maybe if they bring all these players into the summer and they have like a come to Jesus moment and they unite behind it. But like in the short term, I don't know, man. Like, sure, Kevin Durant can go nuts in the playoffs because he's that good. But it's like, I agree with you. It just doesn't feel like it's going to matter in the short term in general. Man, it's it does, even when the Warriors lose, it makes you at least appreciate like the baseline thing that the Warriors have built.
Yeah, they culture, culture.
I did not want to be on here just bragging about culture. That's but whatever.
The West Coast Miami Heat, baby. I think the last thing I want to point out is it is funny to me that LeBron and KD, who the two, not technically the two top vote getters, they're just the top vote getters in their respective conferences. They're in similar situations where they just seem to always be in dramatic, just I don't know how to explain it, just really dramatic, like almost situations where I just don't know, like, how is this healthy? How is any of this healthy? Like, we didn't even get to make fun of the Lakers because the Nets are such a shit show. They've lost 10 in a row. Like, you've got two of the guys who are essentially the top two out of three best players in the last decade, and that's how much of a mess these guys are in. It doesn't make any sense, man.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
To the goons. I think we got to get the callers on here to get the segment moving forward.
It's going to come together. We got Ryan here. He's the power hitter.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. There we go.
Oh, God. Where do I start with that game? We're tiny. Bielitsa looks like his back is still broken, but I don't know if that's an excuse because this is how I looked before the injury. Robin Lopez is looking like I'm thirsting for Robin Lopez. That's right now. I'm thirsting for the hook shot merchant himself.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's just
the baby hook is nice. It is. He you know, quick one touch in the post, little yeah. 4 foot hook. It's money. It's money.
Steve Kerr is going to drop an after timeout for him. That's all I'm scared of. But other than that, it's just one of those games where it feels like 2020 again. It still doesn't beat the Kiefer Skies closeout game, but it's right up there with the Kiefer Skies game. And it's just like, we're going to hear the same talking points after Wiseman's going to help. What is he going to help? Like, the dude averaged 5 rebounds a game last year in 22 minutes. Is he going to help this rebounding thing? I don't think he is. It's just like, we keep going back to it and we're not, and we keep ignoring the problem. They're going to practically hand Wiseman backup center minutes for absolutely no reason because Bielitsa is practically unplayable. It's falling to a point where it's like, we sort of have to play Wiseman because he's 7 foot and that's going to look awful. And by the way, James Harden is such a locker room issue that Patty Mills got annoyed. Patty Mills. So this is on James Harden.
Oh, so this is what I want to know. Your team Harden's fault, not Kyrie's fault?
Yeah, dude. If this is the second time he's fat and out of shape to begin the season, whining about spacing, whining about everything. It's like, go play basketball, dude. You're doing the same shit. You're not playing half the games because you're whining for half the games.
All I'm saying is if he can score 30 with 30% body fat, more power to him.
Appreciate you, Ryan.
He's Bielitsa shape.
Bielitsa didn't average 36 a game.
Didn't FIBA.
I appreciate it, Ryan.
Oh, he's the best. Maybe
that's how we should go. I got to ask everyone, are you team Kyrie or are you team Harden?
Oh,
we keep moving forward. You know what? Like one thing Ryan said, I want to touch on this before I move forward. Okay, Wiseman's going to get minutes, but like what matters is Looney and Draymond playing better. Draymond didn't play tonight. Looney looks like he needs the All-Star.
Yeah, break. You're right. Yeah, he's only playing because I think he's must be written in the contract somewhere where Joe gives
he's
him
trying
a
to get
million.
That 80, he's trying yeah, to get that 82.
He gets a couple mil. Bonus. I feel for him. Yeah, he looks a little slow.
We got a guy, no cap. What's up, man?
What's up, brother?
Can you hear me? That's good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hey, okay. I don't think we're gonna beat the Bucks. I don't think we're gonna beat the Suns. I really don't even think in a series a fully healthy Bulls team. I don't even think we'll beat, and I don't think we'll beat Miami to be honest in a series. The bench is full of none but minimum guys. Otto Porter can't play back to backs. Bielitsa looks absolutely horrible, and you got Wiggins making $30 million when he's a $12 million player. You need to trade Wiggins and get bench depth. Steph is 33. Cliff, you can see it in this game. He's totally declining, and it happens. It happens earlier to some players than it does others. But seriously, with this bench, and we're not winning the chip. I'm going to be honest.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call. All right. We got two. Andy, I got two questions for you. Okay. Whew. So, one, are you concerned about the Phoenix Suns?
Hey, look, the Phoenix Suns just blew out the Bucks tonight, and I only watched parts of that game, and it looked incredible. I'd be lying to you if I say I wasn't concerned, but I'm not. I wouldn't say the Warriors have no chance to win a title. I still think the Warriors are a better team than Phoenix.
Here's where I'm at. Let me just lay this out for you.
You disagree?
I think the Warriors match up well with the Suns if the Warriors are healthy.
Yes, Sam. Yes, we are going to go with that. Yes.
Here's what I'm saying. It's the Milwaukee Bucks and, quite frankly, probably the Philadelphia 76ers.
Sixers?
I don't know what they're going to look like, but I do know Embiid's a problem.
They're gonna be good.
So the question is, do they have the front court guys to match the Eastern Conference teams? Right. For me, I know Draymond can match DeAndre Ayton if he's healthy. If Draymond's not healthy,
they might not make it past the second round.
I just don't know what else he'd do. But like, if Draymond and Looney are healthy, I feel pretty good about their chances against the Phoenix Suns. For me, it's like, should they have made a move in context of who you might face in the finals?
There was no move that they could have made that, you know what I mean? Like, this was always going to be the team.
Can I go?
Yeah.
The move would have been about trading Wiseman aggressively and basically taking the risk that he might be that dude in 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, you move him plus something else, plus a pick for Miles Turner. Aggressive price point. But Miles Turner is more likely to be impactful in a final series in 2022 than what you got, right? Like, to me, that was the question. And I get not doing it, but like, you make that move because you think that little upgrade is going to be what you need to get over Giannis.
Yeah, that's fair. I can't argue against that. I also believe this team right now is good enough. And the thing is, like, yes, every team has to be healthy if they want to win a championship. So it's, I'm assuming that they're healthy, and I think they're good enough to get to the finals. And once you get to the finals, like, Toronto, you saw Toronto a couple of years ago, you saw Milwaukee. You just got to get there, man. Anything is possible once you get there. And the thing is, the crazy part is, the Eastern Conference has some really good basketball teams. The Western Conference, two and a half?
Yeah.
Right? The East has four.
The West is low-key kind of weak. I mean, right? Memphis is nice.
But they're like Cleveland, you know? They're like an up-and-coming, like, I don't...
Phoenix is nice.
Yes.
I mean, that's it, though. You know?
That's it. Laker?
Shout out my guy Polinka finally fighting back at clutch.
I was thinking maybe anyway, let's get the next one.
Yo.
Aaron, what's up, man?
Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, sweet. Okay, so I have a question for you guys. From the way it looks like in the Western Conference, from what we see on the 4 and 5 seed, that may interchange between Dallas and Utah, respectively. I don't think Utah will jump in and pass Memphis. Neither do I believe Dallas will go get too low. Anyways, you get the point. My question for you guys is, who do you think is going to win that series? Briefly, if so, why? And then, assuming we take care of our first-round matchup, how would we match up against the winner of the 4-5 seed that Dallas made? Just their move right now with Spencer. We haven't played against them. Probably won't without Kristaps.
I appreciate the call. One thing I'll note is I don't think the Warriors could get the 1 seed. So I don't know if Andy agrees with me, but like, yeah. Phoenix is gaining separation. I think the Warriors are on a crash course for Memphis in round 2.
Yep.
So I don't know if it really matters too much. Like, I don't. Do you feel like Dallas or Utah are scary?
No. No, I think it's a 6-gamer. I think we're going to be annoyed because the Warriors are running too much motion offense, and then they'll win. they'll win in a couple games. Dallas is funny. I don't know what's going on there. It seems like they double down on the let's just get more ball handlers and shooting and less actual defense. But I will say, Steph had 35 tonight, but didn't play that great. Right. They're going to need him to play. They're going to need him to be the best player on the floor to win most of these series. So, I mean, I'll say that it's not really. I don't know. Is that a concern, Troll, Sam? 5-16 from 3 tonight. I thought he was OK.
It's a serious concern, Troll.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
I don't know. It's just sure. Serious. I don't know. The Warriors. Here's where I'm at. If they come out of the All-Star break looking this lethargic with Draymond and Looney, right, I'll be concerned. Right now, I'm not particularly concerned.
Yes.
Agreed. All right, let's get Larry up here. Larry, what's up, man?
Sorry about that. It went mute on me.
Not a concern.
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned about the lack of a big man. We are continuing to – we get what gave him 10 or 12 extra possessions. No wonder we look gas on defense in the late part of the game. And, you know, Mitchell Robinson isn't that good. He just is that tall. And I'm stunned we didn't try to do something to get a big man on the other side of it. Because, you know, in my view, as I'm looking at this, we're playing better. We've got a better record. But we've got the same type of team we had last year that is not a final two team right now. This is my opinion. Kuminga in the finals will not be able to give the same kind of effort he gave tonight and that contribution because the refs won't let him. You know, the game changes. It slows down in the playoffs and rookies get called with more fouls. You know, I wish that weren't the case, but that's what we're looking at in the NBA. So I'd really like to see him do something. We have to do something at the buyout, but who do we cut? You know, if you cut a mid-level exception like Belly, I mean, at that point, what do we do next year? Because nobody will want to come here under the MLE. So we've got some hard decisions to make. I think we have some fatal flaws from a championship perspective. And I just hope we can come through it. I mean, I agree with you guys. Wiseman, maybe 2 to 3 years away, but by that time, is Steph going to have anything left? You know? Okay. Anyway, that's it. And I appreciate everybody. I love listening to you guys and hope I'm wrong.
Appreciate you, Larry. That is a fair point.
Love that call. Love that. Yeah. He makes this one point. I think it's two points I want to talk about. Kuminga in the postseason in the biggest games. Is he going to be able to play? Is he going to be able to stay on the floor? It's a good question. I don't know, but I do know this. I know that JTA and Bielitsa aren't going to be able to, and Damian Lee aren't going to be able to. So it just might be who they have to throw out there, right? But you know, they also are most likely going to rely on Otto Porter and Andre Iguodala, and I think those guys are probably a little bit more, hey, you know those guys can be on the floor. Do you agree with that, Sam? Like, those guys are probably going to be taking the bulk of those minutes when it actually matters.
No, I agree with you. The real question is, when Looney gets a week off, the man is the hardest working man in sports right now. And Draymond comes back. Does that alleviate some of their big man issues, or are they still this fatally flawed inside?
For the first part of the season, they seem like they could hang with it, but you and I both know the regular season, the playoffs are not the same.
Yeah. Yeah. They just got to get to the postseason, though, right? It feels let's say Robin Lopez. They get someone like Robin Lopez. Once it gets to the postseason, it's like an Andrew Bogut situation, a Zaza situation. Those guys aren't going to play. Those guys aren't going to play much. I guess what's interesting, too, minor question that he had, but if they do end up getting a guy in the buyout market, let's say they do, who do they cut?
Yeah, I mean, you brought it up, and Larry just brought it up.
Yeah.
It's cold to cut Belly. When you just sign him.
Right.
It's tough. It's a tough move, you know, and you don't want to cut Juan. Not even just because of the local reasons, but like, it's just useful to have an extra wing on the bench. Like, you can say what you want about him, but like, I can envision a game where you throw Juan in there and he changes the energy flow of the game, right? Like, you always want more guys like that on the bench. So, I don't know. It's tough.
I think they'd cut Bielitsa. I think they'd cut him. But it's tough, right? I think Slater brought this up in a pod too. I think they signed him as a guy that wanted to chase a ring. Like, he was the guy that they signed with the vet men, and you're gonna do the same thing next season. And you know, vets are gonna say, well, they cut him midway, and you know, it's kind of tough. But yeah, I mean, it's probably Belly. He's probably the guy that deserves to be cut right now. But we'll see.
I see move. Omar, what's up, my man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. So I have a little bit of a complaint, but before I get to that, I just wanted to appreciate how good Kuminga was today. Yes. You guys touched on it a little bit. Like, it was honestly very fun to watch. He's doing DHOs now. He's screening. He's rolling hard. Like, he had that pass to Clay when he was cutting, and it's all so much more advanced than I was expecting. which, you know, I'm optimistic about that because that tells me how wrong I was about this particular prospect. But it brings me to the other issue, which is, you know, we've talked about it. No backup big is a problem. Belly, you know, was rushed off of an injury. Looney, and you know, we're waiting on a prayer with Draymond, basically. And I disagree with you guys. Like, I don't see it as such a binary where it's it's either that we have Draymond or we don't. He's coming back from a back injury that's all sorts of murky. The place where I get concerned is if he has to miss a game or two in a series and we're running out the shit that we ran out today, what does that mean? And in that case, is the gambit worth it? And to me, you know, it doesn't feel like it. And it puts us in the position of relying on Wiseman, who I'm going to say I was wrong on Kuminga. I'll be hopeful on Wiseman, but let's be real. He was one of the worst players in the association last year. No disrespect. He just was not good. And that, I'm not trying to hate on him, but that puts a lot of pressure on him. And we're just the team now where everything kind of has to go incredibly perfectly well. And I would have liked them to trade, even if you're not trading Wiseman, trade one of the minimums. You know, I love Belly. I love JTA. I love Lee. All these guys are great. We have a great 15-man roster. But if you're carrying three rookies, like, there's a cap on the amount of roster spaces you have for a reason. I'm trying to win a title. Like, I'm not on that sentimentality stuff right now. Love Juan, the town. But I would have liked them to let one of them go. And it's just tough right now because we're in a very leveraged situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, Omar, I agree with you. It's well, so here. Well, appreciate the call. Let's back it up real quick. They didn't make a move. They did not make a move. It feels like a huge gamble. Maybe by next week they'll get a buyout big. Maybe they'll get Robin Lopez. Like, it seems like Robin Lopez and Tristan Thompson are the two most likely buyout candidates for big men. So we'll see.
Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter.
Shut up.
From the chat, by the way. No, it was not my idea. From the chat.
I mean, okay, yes, he will get bought out. But like, he's not a serious consideration.
I saw somebody say maybe he can go play in China, and I honestly didn't stop laughing. I didn't stop laughing. Anyway, keep going. I just ruined your point there.
Sorry, I'm having a hard time refocusing. But anyway, back to the point. It is true. Like, the Warriors made a serious gamble to play small most of the year. It's generated a ton of wins. And now you have two ways to look at what's going on right now. Way one is they're all worn out and their bodies are broken, and this is why you don't play small this much. Way two is Draymond will be back and they're a week away from the All-Star game and everyone's kind of playing lazy, and give them a week off and they're going to be fine going into the second half of the year. And I just don't know where I land on this. Like, I wanted them to make an upgrade, but I don't know if I think it's as dire as that. Like, I wanted them to make an upgrade that mattered in terms of pursuing
postseason. Yeah.
In terms of like a Miles Turner type of thing. Like, I don't know how much it would have mattered for them to add a let's just say a big who Steve Kerr is going to play 8 to 10 minutes a game in the playoffs.
I'm with you. I think I'm less concerned because I think in a real game, Belly's not playing tonight. In a real game, postseason round one against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Belly's not playing. Actually, you know what? Knowing Steve, he might. But like, when it really, 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 really matters, Draymond's going to be out there. And I just think a lot of these issues kind of just don't matter. And I'm with you in that this was a second end of a back-to-back. They just got off a 9-game win streak. They still haven't had the All-Star break come up yet, right? So it's like a lot of this stuff is very much middle of the season type of fatigue. And we saw this as Warriors fans. We saw this for four straight years.
We saw them go through this. So this is nothing new. I just think it's when you're not a title favorite, which is what we're used to seeing, I think you just get a little bit more stressed out, because I think the Warriors right now are probably, what, third or fourth favorite to win the title? They're certainly not the best, right? It's probably Phoenix and then Milwaukee. So I think like that's where the stress comes in. But I don't – like you said, though, there's really nothing out there within reason that they could have gotten, I think, that that makes this team that much better. And I think the only thing that you think about is that buyout market. Yeah.
Well, I think the only thing that would have made a difference is if they were willing to trade Wiseman and kind of go more aggressive. And they've made it clear.
Very clear.
They're not going to do that. So if it doesn't
work. We don't talk about it. We stopped talking about it.
Well, all I'm saying is, like, yeah, if that's the parameters, they better be right. Because if they're not, then we can have a conversation in the offseason that, you know, they threw a season away. But, like, to me, that's kind of, you know, no one wants to talk about it. But, like, that's a third rail of the whole discussion, which is their only avenue to improve the team in a way that matters would have meant trading the number two pick of the 2020 draft. And maybe they should have, maybe they shouldn't have, but, like, we'll see right now, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. Carrie Mae.
Hey, fellas. So
there we go.
All right. I'll start here.
Uh-oh.
I'm not Team Harden, and I'm damn sure not Team Kyrie. He's got a lot of nerve going at Harden. Like, hold up, homie. You ain't even get vaccinated, so miss me with that. So, but on to this game. Yes, I'm mad that they lost, and I'm not so high up on Kuminga just yet because there were moments in there that I'm like, first of all, how are you looking off Curry? You don't do that. You will get a talking to. So, but I think I'll focus a little bit more on All-Star Wiggins because he had a quiet 15 and 7 rebounds. I needed a little bit more out of him that I think would have propelled us over and kind of just seal this win. So, you know, but thank you guys. Love you.
Appreciate you, Cameron.
God,
By the way, Kuminga sitting at the podium with a Yankee hat.
Oh, Lord.
Appreciate it.
Her point on Wiggins, I thought, interesting because he made a big shot down the stretch. I don't know if he's scared to shoot or he's just – they've got three guys who handle the ball. They've got Steph, they got Clay, and they got Poole. And those guys are going to be the guys that are going to shoot the shots. And I think – Wiggins is in that Harry B role where it's pretty difficult, where it's he's not going to dribble. He's not going to force the ball up. But sometimes he's going to get the ball and he's going to have to shoot it. And it's like, oh, he hasn't shot for 3 minutes and it's kind of tough on him. So I'm not excusing Wiggins or anything because they've, you know, but it's he's in a tough situation in that type of closing lineup. I don't know what your thoughts are, Sam.
I'm not critical of Wiggins in this game, particularly. Like, I thought Steph and Clay had more than enough opportunities to close the game.
Yeah.
If I have a critique about this game, it's no one rebounded the ball, and the Knicks were in the game when they had no business being in the game for most of the game. So, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting how Wiggins responds to being in the quote-unquote Harry B role in the playoffs because it's not easy. To be the dude who doesn't touch the ball, and then it's just like, oh, kick out to you, sink it, bro. You know, yeah, like,
I know.
You better do it now. You know, it's like Andy Lou in every tournament, every weekend. It's just, it's a thankless job. It's a thankless job, just fucking sinking from the corner, right?
I kind of feel bad. And again, he made a big shot. We've seen him brick shots, right? Against Memphis, we saw him in the playing game just shoot one off the other side of the backboard, but. It is hard. It is hard, but you're right. The rebounding was just, I mean, that was just atrocious.
Just really
maybe
good.
Maybe he should get more boards.
Feel like there's, yes, he should. But I just feel like that's more controllable than, like, you know, the other stuff. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Couple more callers. Get to Adam. Adam, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Real quick, it's funny what you guys said about Bismack Biyombo. I remember being at a Knicks-Orlando game 4 years ago, and Biyombo was literally a cadaver out there, him and Elfrid Payton. That team did not
– Lord.
That was just terrible. So for whatever you want to say about Chris Paul, for him to be able to resurrect a player like that is crazy to me. Number two, I don't have as big of a concerns on the front court players as you guys do. I think everything has to be thought about in the scope of the postseason. And in the postseason, you know, Warriors, they impress their will on the opponents. And if you're looking for 8 to 10 minutes in the postseason, that can be filled by almost anybody. I'm more concerned with Poole and having to give even a few minutes to Chioza as backup point guard minutes. That's why I thought somebody like Eric Gordon would have been perfect for the Warriors. A 45% three-point shooter, a guy that can kind of take 10-15 minutes as, you know, handle the ball competently, run your offense, drive the ball, and can also be at times a lockdown defender on the perimeter. I think Eric Gordon probably could have helped the Suns too. They chose to go with Torrey Craig, which is going to be a nothing for them. And lastly, on kind of the, I apologize for going a little bit long, on the Sixers Nets thing, I think it's bad for both of them, but I think it's disastrous for the Nets. This is their third, you know, this is going to be a third year of just a failure of that experiment since Kyrie got there. I don't think people aren't saying this. The Nets have a high likelihood of not even making the playoffs. They have 28 games left. You got two weeks where Ben Simmons isn't even going to play, probably. Kyrie Irving is only going to play half those games. You know, Kevin Durant's probably out another 6 weeks. He's only going to be back for the last, you know, 8-9 games of the season. They've lost 10 in a row. They're only a game and a half up on Charlotte. They're 2.5 up on Atlanta. That's been 7-3. You know, they think about it, a team that makes this move and they don't even make the playoffs, then Kyrie Irving has a player option next year. Kyrie Irving, if there's any player that he doesn't care about money, it's him. You know, who knows what he'll want to do after the season? Who knows what the Nets will want to do? Do they want to commit $200 million plus to Kyrie Irving? They're in a terrible situation. So they're in a terrible situation from the get-go. The Sixers are a little bit different. This year is going to be disappointing. They're going to lose in the second round to Milwaukee or Miami. Next year is just going to be bad, and then the third year is going to be disastrous. You know, like, you're going to be paying, you know, they already have a handshake deal probably for an extension with Harden. They're going to give him $62 million when he's 38 years old. Like, Harden at 2016, 2017, Harden would have been
the cheesesteak god, my guy.
Yeah, like, he's not going to lose 10, 15 pounds and regain a kind of a quick first step. And his 3-point shooting has been off the last 3 years. Like, he is not a player. The reason he left the Nets is because, you know, he wanted to cede all of that pressure. You know, he wanted to be a second or third option. You know, people, you know, he's not selfish. He knows he can't be that player in Houston. He can't drag a terrible team to a 41-41 record. He can't drag a good team to a 50-win season. He's not that player anymore. And so there's going to, you know, this is the honeymoon period, but both those situations are going to be really bad. It's just the Nets situation is going to be even worse. The Nets, they have an issue of kind of a personality paralysis. They got three passive aggressive players. They had with Harden, Kyrie, and Durant. They just switched out, you know, Harden for Ben Simmons. Like, Ben Simmons isn't going to be any different in for the Nets. And Ben Simmons at his best is a 15-7-7 player. So even with a better defense, you know, he's not going to make a huge difference there. And so it's all the way bad. I apologize for taking up so much time. That's just kind of my thoughts on it.
Adam, I appreciate it. That was an amazing call.
Wind them up and let them go. I feel like we got some great ones today. Some,
yeah, I don't, you know what, someone in the chat goes, this guy's going dark. Not dark for me. I'm not that
I was born in it, says Sam.
That's not my problem.
Oh, man.
We're going to end on our guy, Ricky Garcia.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Ricky G.
All right. So I was going to bring up Mr. Freedom before you guys saw that in the chat.
We're not talking about Enes Kanter coming to the Warriors. Come on.
But if we were that desperate, you think Steve would be able to tolerate him? Like,
no, it's not. No, it's not.
No, because he's they would play Gary Payton II at center before. Like, from a skill set standpoint, he does not have more
or less warrior from skills.
From a as a person standpoint, he is definitely not going to be on this team.
It's not even that. It's like this team values defense and versatility. He plays no defense. He is one of the least versatile players in the NBA. Like, he can't move. He can't do anything. He can score in the post. That's about it. So, like, just it's not happening. We're not even going to concern troll it as a possibility. But anyway, Ricky, keep going.
Ricky, yeah.
So I also do have another question. You know, I think, like, the mainstream ideas we brought up for, like, buyout candidates, you know, like that –
Like Robin Lopez,
Robin Lopez. I was about to say Thaddeus Young before I remembered he got traded. But how about a guy like, you know, Moses Brown was waived from Dallas today. I mean, I'm kind of biased toward him, but, you know, are there any kind of, like, you know, under the radar big men we haven't discussed?
To that Moses Brown point, I saw it in the chat. The Warriors aren't picking up projects. They've already got one. He's hurt right now. I think the only people they look at, they pick up who's a vet that they think they could just put in, play 10 minutes and know the system. And is smart. Yeah,
I'm with Andy on this one. It's not that, like, I actually think Moses Brown is an interesting player. I got my hipster beer and flannel out right now, but like from perspective, like, they're already giving way too many roster spots to guys like that right now. The only players they would consider making moves on are vets who can potentially contribute in some capacity. So it's like Robin Lopez. If he's legitimately available, that's interesting, right? Like, is Robin Lopez swinging the title?
No.
Probably not.
Hey, like, if he keeps Draymond healthy, then yes, right?
But he is a veteran who they could potentially use. So
yeah.
We're going to end it there.
Yep.
Disgusting game against the Knicks, but let's laugh at the Nets. Later, guys.